Welcome to the radio broadcast of the preaching ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, Coshocton, Ohio. My name is Sam Brown, and I am the lead pastor at Calvary. Thank you for joining with us today as we continue to study God's Word together.
Okay, we read from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And please, I need you to help me out. I'm going to need some help reading scripture. Because my wife can tell you it takes me forever to read. So she doesn't let me read. So, you know, so help me out. I need someone, Pastor, if you can get Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 for me, please. What we are looking at, ladies and gentlemen, while Pastor is finding that passage, I want us to look at this. I want us to look at the compassion. What moved Jesus? What moved Jesus to go to the cross? What moved him to do what he has done during his ministry? Let's think about that. What moved him to feed the 5,000? What moved him to do what he did? Go ahead, Pastor.
And Jesus went throughout all cities and villages, their synagogues, the gospel, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Okay, so what we are looking at here, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at Jesus having what? Having been moved by what? What moved him? Compassion. What drives you today? What moves you today? Let's look at the word. Let's look at that word compassion. What is the definition for the word compassion? You know, I looked at it from the Merriam-Webster dictionary and also from the biblical definition. I looked at both of them, and guess what? Both definitions are the same. That's one of the few words that is exactly defined as it is in Miriam and defined as it is in the biblical. Compassion is a feeling of sympathy and sorrow for another suffering, coupled with a desire to alleviate that suffering. That is the definition of compassion. We find in the Hebrew the word racham, meaning womb or deeply moved. That is the word that is used as compassion in Greek. In Hebrew, it means filled with love and compassion, signifies a deep sense of empathy, mercy, and desire to alleviate the suffering. So, let's look at the biggest problem, ladies and gentlemen, that we encounter. The problem is regarding evangelism. When we look at evangelism, what is the problem with that? Some of us have become so comfortable where we are, in our position that where we are, that we are not motivated anymore, that we have nothing that drives us forward. What drove Jesus to do the things that he did? You know, we find that many Christians seem to lack the motivation to teach others. Years go by. You know, we become more and more comfortable, you know. Yet, the motivation that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is what pushes us to do what we need to do. It's what drives us to move forward. Jesus moved forward because he was driven by what? By the feeling that he had for his creation. I want you to think about this. Jesus, what made Jesus to come back, to come down to earth? What made Jesus leave his kingly throne as a God? What made him come down to earth? What motivated him? One of the things we find, ladies and gentlemen, that made Jesus to come down was to do the will of whom? The will of the Father. The obedience to the will of the Father. You know, and one of the things that led Jesus, that he was looking forward, ladies and gentlemen, as he was being crucified, as he was going to the cross, what was he looking forward to? The joy that lied where? Ahead. What was that joy? What was that joy that lied ahead, that he was looking forward to go to the cross? Isn't it because he had compassion for you and me? Because he did not want you and me to be lost. He did not want you and I to remain in our misery. Because, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us has problems, okay? Every one of us has problems. You know, there are some people that you see that look like they have it all together. They have it all together, but they don't. So, you know, when someone says, "Hey, Bowen, how are you doing today?" You know, sometimes I say, "Which version do you want to know? You know, the real version of how I'm doing or the plastic version of how I'm doing?" See, this place here, ladies and gentlemen, it's a place where we are supposed to be transparent. We are supposed to be honest with each other. You ask me, "Bowen, how are you doing?" I'm doing miserably bad. How many of you will stand in front of me if I responded to you like that? "Oh, I'm sorry, bye." You know? Jesus was moved by compassion. What motivated Jesus to save the lost? What motivated him? What prompted him to come to this earth? What propelled him to go from city to city with the gospel of the kingdom? What moved him to endure the shame and the pain on that cross? Wow. It must have been something so important. See, when you have something that is very important on your heart, you are going to be driven. So, I always say, the condition of the heart, the condition of your heart determines the direction that you're going. It does. Because what is on your heart is your priority. What is on your heart is what you are going to pursue. And here, what was on God's heart was to bridge the gap between you and I, between God and us. He wanted to bridge that gap because he cared so much about his creation. He cared so much about you and I because he had compassion, because we were lost. See, Jesus was motivated. Jesus was moved to share the gospel. Jesus had compassion. We read about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. You know, we had two people walk by the dying man. They look at him and say, "Dude, you're on your own. Enjoy laying there. Well, if you make it, we'll see you later. If you don't, well, too bad." And the Samaritan comes. What moved that Samaritan to care for that person? What pushed him to that? He had a choice, didn't he? The others did. They walked by. They chose to walk by. But he chose to do what? Stop and help. In the passage that Mr. Dalek read, it said, "And the Samaritan had what? Compassion. What does compassion do for you? Does compassion move you? You know, do you care about the lost? Several factors that motivated Jesus. His strong sense of purpose to do the will of his Father propelled him to move forward. You know, in John chapter 6, Jared is busy. John chapter 6, verse 38. Someone please grab that for me. John chapter 6, verse 38. And I would like for someone to grab John chapter 15, verse 9. You know, Jesus was moved because of the purpose that he had, because of what was important on his heart, because of what was important to his Father. Who is your Father? My wife says that, "Hey, you have to treat me because I'm the king's what? What do you say? I'm the king's daughter." You know? Because God, her Father, is the king. See, do we have the heart to do the will of the Father? Are we motivated enough to do what the Father desires for you and I to do? But Jesus did. If we as Christians, I tell people that we are the Christians, we are the little Christ. How, don't we desire to be like Christ? How many of us desire to be like Christ? Isn't Christ our example? I do. I know I want to live a life like Jesus did. That's my desire. It's to be pleasing to my Father as Jesus did. Who's got John chapter 6, verse 38? Pastor, you got it? Anyone, please feel free to participate. This is a participating class. Go ahead, Andrew. Okay, and go to 15 verse 9 also, please. Jesus went to the cross because he loved who? He loved you and I, because he loved us. You know, in verse 36, you know, in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Compassion for the lost. Do we have compassion for the lost? What are we, if we have compassion for the lost, what are we doing, ladies and gentlemen, to help them? Do we have compassion for the needy? Because see, the word compassion is an action word. It forces you to do something. When you have compassion, you are moved to do something about that thing that you have compassion over. See, without compassion, ladies and gentlemen, we are dormant. We sit. Without compassion, without mercy, without feeling sorry for that person, are we going to do anything? See, when you feel sorry for someone, you do something about it. You do something. When you and I have the ability to do something and we don't do it, that is wrong, ladies and gentlemen. We have a duty. There's lost people that need to hear the gospel. What are we doing about it? You know, what are we doing about it? Anything? Yes, we are. You guys send out missionaries, don't you? Last I checked, Calvary Baptist had missionaries in the field. See, we are doing something to help lost. You know, Jesus had compassion for the lost. You know, in our text in verse 36, Jesus was moved by compassion. Prior to the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus was moved with what? Andrew, you grab Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 for me, please. And Pastor, would you grab Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 and 37, please? You know, Jesus, prior to the feeding of the 5,000, go ahead, Andrew. He felt compassion for who? For the multitude that was there. And what did he do when he felt compassion for them? When he felt compassion for the sick, what did he do about it? Did he feel compassion and say, oh, well? See, the compassion, ladies and gentlemen, is the steam that moves us forward as Christians. It's the steam that propels you and I to do something about it. Jesus did something about it when he was moved with compassion. When he was filled by compassion, Jesus did something. What did he do? According to Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, he healed their sick that they brought to him because he had compassion. It's not just because they brought those sick to him. It's because he had compassion for the sick. And he did something about it. Now, what are we doing? You and I are filled by compassion, are propelled by compassion. How much time do I have, Pastor? I have plenty of time. See, the problem here is this. This is the problem. I'm missing the Manchester United game, so I'm going to take as long as I want to because the game is going on, and I don't like starting watching the game in the middle. So, you know, but, you know, prior to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus has compassion. Pastor, go ahead. Because they were what? Jesus had compassion for them because they were hungry. Okay, because they were hungry. Since they were hungry, he decided he would do something about it. He had compassion for them. He decided he was going to send them hungry to their homes so that they can go fetch something to eat and then they can come back and join him. Am I right? No, I'm wrong. See, Jesus said, I can't send them home like this. I cannot because they won't make it there. Let's feed them, you know? And can you imagine why his disciples thought of him when he said, let's feed them. This is an evening time. They say, come on, Jesus. Are you serious about this? Where are we going to buy food to feed 5,000 people? Peter probably is thinking, man, I wonder if people that are right about you when they say you are a lunatic, you know? But, you know, they obey. He says, how many bread do we have? How much bread do we have? And he prays and blesses that. And then guess what? A miracle. He had compassion. He fed them. He did something about it. What are we doing? See, we have brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that have needs. What are we doing about it? We have neighbors that are struggling. What are we doing about it? You know? Do we have compassion? What drives you as an individual? See, this is what motivated me as a soccer player. What motivated me as a soccer player was I always wanted to be the best. But see, I guess I failed in that, you know. And when I was coaching, I wanted my team to be the best team. See, for me, it was not about winning. It was about developing. Are we developing young people that we can send out in the field because we have compassion for the lost? Are we developing young people that we can send out so that they can share the gap? Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, had compassion. And when he had compassion about something, he did something about it. He just didn't sit back and say, that's good. His compassion, Jesus' compassion, moved him to heal the sick, to cast out the demons. You know, he was moved by that. He was moved by compassion because he loved us, because he loved the people that he mixed with. You know, they are coming into the town of Nain, you know, a small town, and there's a multitude there. They are mourning. The lady has lost her son, her only son, and he sees that. You know, and you can find that story in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. You can find it. He sees them. And what happens when he sees them? He feels sorry. He has compassion for the lady because that was the only son that she had. And what does he do about it? He says, he touches the casket. Young man, rise. He did something. What moves to do something about it? You know, what is your steam that pushes? What gets you going? See, if you have compassion about someone, you are going to do something. You're not just going to see. You know, Gerard can tell you story after story about me. Every time they did something that I did not teach them, the next practice they were going to Fox's Hill. They were running. See, because that motivated them. They hated that hill, you know. And as a result of that, to avoid that hill, guess what they did? They always stuck to the plan. See, when we are motivated, ladies, we are pushed to do what we don't just sit. Jesus' compassion moved him to feed the hungry. Jesus' compassion for his creation led him to the cross. He died on the cross because he had compassion for you and I. He endured the shame of the cross because he loved you. He loved you. Because he knew I could not save myself. He knew, you know, without his mercy, that I'm done. But because he's a merciful, a compassionate God, he sends his only begotten son to go die on the cross so that the penalty can be paid. And only a perfect lamb, if you remember, only a perfect lamb was sacrificed for atonement. And Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, was that perfect lamb because he had compassion for his creator. Our compassion for the lost or for the needy. Do we have compassion for the lost? Are we moved when we see multitudes of people who are without Christ? Individuals who are lost in sin, are we moved by that? I want you, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look at Coshocton, the city of Coshocton or the county of Coshocton. How many people are lost? How many people are lost? How does that make you feel when you think about the number of people that are lost? How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel like, I need to do something about this? I need to pray about these lost. And, you know, someone requested for prayer for the drugs and for the addictions and all that. You know, that is so amazing. And that's what we should be doing. We should be praying for those people so that, you know, God can put people in their paths that will share the gospel. If we can go out there, then let's pray that God uses someone else to share the gospel. You know, let's be moved by the lost. What have you done in the past year for the lost? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a very important question. I ask myself that question time after time. What have I done? Have I done enough? Have I done anything to help someone who's lost? What? In the past year, let's look at 2024. What have you done for the lost? That's the question you need to answer on your hill. We need to develop compassion. You know, Jesus, if we hang out with Jesus, if you and I hang out with Jesus, we should be developing compassion. We should be developing love. We should love. He says, love your enemies as you love whom? As you love yourself. How do you love your enemies as yourself? How do you do that? Is it even possible to love your enemies as yourself? See, this is the thing. When you love your enemies as yourselves, are they still your enemies? Are they? Tell me. No. See, that's the beauty of that passage. When you love someone, it's no longer your enemy. You love because you do what? You care about that person. You love because you want that person. You want the best for that person. You know, we tell our children that whatever your mother and I do, it's for your best. We always look out for your best interest. See, when we love someone, we do something about it. Love your enemy as you love yourself. How hard it is. It is very hard to love your enemy. It is very hard. But Jesus did it, didn't he? You crucified him, but he did what? He loved you. He loved me to the point he went to the cross on my behalf. There was a song we sang about his sin, my sins on him, seeing my name written in the blood. Whose blood? Isn't it Jesus' blood that we are talking about? Because he had compassion, you know. Letting God teach us how to love. God teaches us through examples of his son, Jesus, how to have compassion, how to have mercy, how to love our enemies. We learn that from Jesus. That's the word of God. You know, it's essential for us to develop compassion, to develop love for the other, to develop kindness for the other. How should compassion move us? To do whatever we can to alleviate. Compassion should move us, such as, you know, teaching others about Christ. You know, and if you are not able to teach, can you pray for others? Can you make it a point to pray for the missionaries that are serving? Because I can't teach. See, when I have compassion, if there's no one who is teaching, you know, I am going to do my very best to learn how to teach. Am I obedient to the Great Commission? You know, go ye into the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Am I obedient to that? See, for me to go into the world and preach the gospel, if I'm not a preacher, if I'm not a teacher, I should be praying for someone to go. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's plenty of people out. I have seen it. I have seen them that need the gospel. There's some people, lots of people that are in need here. By praying that the Lord will send more laborers. You know, by sending out others to teach the gospel. That is the role we play. You and I, in this journey, have a role that we play. Without compassion for the lost, there's no esteem. There's absolutely nothing we can do without compassion. You know, if I don't have compassion for Andrew, you know, if I don't have compassion for Andrew, or if I don't have compassion for Dr. Jim, you know, then we got a problem. Because, see, remember earlier I said each one of us has a problem. So I would like for you to do something for me. Turn to your left, to your right side, and tell the person next to you that you have a problem. Come on, tell them you have a problem. See, now, Some of you are enjoying that too much. Evidently, you have been waiting for a long time to tell the next neighbor that you have a problem. We do have a problem. And the problem, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that we have is we are all what? We are all sinners. That's a big problem. That is a big problem. Because we are all sinners, we need someone to help us out. You and I are like babies in a diaper. Okay, sorry, it's the truth. We are like babies in a diaper. Have you ever seen a baby clean itself? Come on, Andrew, tell me, how many times have you changed the diaper? How many times has he changed his own diaper? Thank you. See, you and I are like that baby. We cannot save ourselves. See, that's the problem. Don't you think so? That's the problem. If we can't save ourselves, then we have a problem. That means we need what? We need a savior. And see, if we can't have compassion on those people that are lost, how are they going to know the gospel? How are they going to know that their problem can be solved because we have a savior, because we have a brother who has loved us enough to die on the cross so that we don't have to pay the penalty of sin? He paid the penalty of sin. See, that is the problem we have, ladies and gentlemen. We can't save ourselves. If Jesus has compassion on me, who am I not to have compassion on her? Who am I? Because she is God's princess. See, I can't. If she's God's princess, then I have to love her. Because her father says, hey, I made her and I made you. So if you want to be like my son, you have to love her. See, compassion, ladies and gentlemen, is what drives us to do something, is what moves us to act. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, with compassion for the lost, we will not rest until we are doing something. It may not be the same thing others do, but we are going to do something about it. Then Jesus said, then I said, I will not make mention of it. And this is in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Is that the way you feel, ladies and gentlemen? You have this fire burning in you that you can't stand it anymore because you want to share. Is the gospel the good news? I can't hear you. Is the gospel the good news? Oh, you guys don't participate? The gospel is the good news. What is the good news? The kingdom of heaven is where? It's come. It's here with us. That is the good news, ladies and gentlemen. That is the good news, that we have a savior. Are you excited enough? How many of you watch football, American football? Let me see the hands. Let me see the hands. You watch American football. How many times do you tell those players what they should be doing, and you are shouting at it? You are shouting at the television, telling them, you need to move, move! You know, my wife responds, it's not an eternal, it's not of eternal value. Man, it makes me so mad. You know? Because she's right, it has no eternal value. See, the good news of Jesus Christ is eternal value. You know, how many of us get excited knowing that, man, someday we'll be in heaven with our Heavenly Father? See, when we have compassion, it propels you and I to teach others, to share, to go on the housetop and do what? I know who Jesus is. He's the savior of what? The world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only what? Begotten son, that whosoever does what? In him shall not the world, okay? The world, not the individual. The whole world. Who is in the world? His creation. Everyone is invited to that. Everyone needs to hear that. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we have compassion and we can let them hear that. We have people that I need. We have people that I need of water. What are we doing? Can we help them? Can you walk this journey with my wife and I as we try to meet the need, as we try to help those people struggling, as day in and day out, as they drink that dirty water, can we walk together? Can we give them something beautiful? Not only do we give them clean water, ladies and gentlemen, we give them living water because we have compassion. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the most important thing. Are we giving them water? And that living water is Jesus Christ. It's the good news. It's the gospel that you have a savior.
Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast today. Calvary is located at 46621 U.S. Highway 36, Coshocton. You can find us on Facebook by searching CBC Coshocton. We'd love to meet you and your family in person at an upcoming Sunday service. So thanks for listening, and God's very best to you.